G from South Broward area.
Added, grateful to be clean. My name's Ray.
Hey, Ray.
And as Jerry would say, this is it. I learned that from my first sponsor, and it stuck with me. And this is it. I didn't know what he was talking about when he used to say that to me. And that was his answering machine. When I would call him, he would never answer the phone. And his answering, his voicemail message was, this is it. And it's funny what we pick up along the way. I got 4,207 days of uninterrupted clean time. I just found that out today. My clean date is October 11, 2003. October 11, 2003. That, you know what, on October 10, 2002, I weighed 135 pounds. 135. I weighed 208 pounds. Like, I weighed 135 pounds. And my life was dreading waking up. You know, man, I knew it was going to be 33 degrees out tomorrow morning. And then I was going to wake up. I was going to come to around 5:45 a.m. soaked in my own sweat. My sheets, my top of my mattress, my pillow, not just the pillowcase, the whole friggin' pillow will be full of sweat. My clothes will be stuck to my body. I'd be balled up like this, sweating but freezing. And that's what I look forward to every time I had to lay down to go to sleep, because that's what I was going to wake up to tomorrow. And you know what? Whether I liked it or not, whether I thought I was turning my life over to the care of God, whether I thought I was making decisions to do something different, it didn't matter what I thought. Amen. It didn't matter what I thought. You know what was going to happen was I was going to get out of that bed. I was going to throw on the same exact clothes that I was wearing yesterday. All 12 layers. Yeah. And I was going to have to go steal something. And that was no joke. And that was a typical day. That was a typical day. And that was when I was still, when I still had a spot to wake up in. On October 10, I woke up in an abandoned building off of Georgia Avenue, service in D.C., off of Park Road. Police officer woke me up. He wanted to know if I had an ID. And I said, nope. All I had left was two Newport 100s, and he let me smoke them. That's the truth. He didn't even handcuff me. Like, because I was not gonna fight, man. I wasn't gonna run. I was just a guy. I was just like, man, help me, man, help me, help me. That's all I knew, man. And I had some warrants in Montgomery County, so I knew I was going to jail. But I was looking forward to it, man, because, like, I needed a break. Like, I needed it. And so he took me down to D.C. jail for a minute. The sheriffs came and picked me up. I went out to Clarksburg, and I was there for 7.5 months. I accumulated, for the first time in my life, at almost 40 years old, after being an NA guest. I was an NA visitor for like 10 years before that. And I couldn't put together no clean time. But I knew all the information. I memorized the basic text. I even came to this convention twice in the 90s. I mean, I've been in and out of treatment. I've been to every treatment. I could just sit here. I could spend the next 20 minutes just going down the list of treatment centers. I couldn't get clean. Like, I could not stop using. Like, the obsession to use would just never go away. And thank God for the second step. I was restored to sanity. And the second step is the most specific step in our basic text. The basic text is the most amazing thing that's ever been written for an addict. And the basic text is called the basic text for a reason. Because it's basic. You know what I love, man, is when you hear a sponsor trying to complicate it. I don't know why they do that. But it hurts my feelings when I see people having to struggle with something that's been broke down to its most common denominator. You know, what is the second step? Well, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore sanity. But what does that mean? It means came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. That's what it means. What's a searching and fearless moral inventory?
What?
A searching and fearless moral inventory. It's searching and fearless moral inventory. That's it. Just, you know. But so I would complicate all that stuff. Today I keep it real, right down to the bare bones. Keep it real simple. The basic text was there. It was written for us to simplify the process. Because all them early NA guys and girls that were sitting around that room clean, for every one of them, there was a dozen that had died just in the last couple of months. And they were grateful, man. They were seriously grateful. I mean, talk about gratitude, attitude of gratitude. They were like, man, what can we do to try to make this easy, man? How can we help future people, man? How can we simplify this process? Well, maybe we could, like, write a book, you know. But not a book that's going to trick people or confuse them. Let's write a book that will simplify this process. Make it easier. Because when we ain't around, future addicts need to be able to get this. So I'm a strong believer of the basic text. I live off that. And it's a good thing that during those 10 years when I was in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, I did memorize that basic text. And I did service. And I did come to conventions. And I did go to meetings. And I set up chairs. And I cleaned ashtrays. I made coffee. And I gut level shared. And I took the feedback. You know, and I swept the sun off the sidewalk in all their treatment centers. And all that crap. But you know what? That 7.5 months, Clarksburg, did me good. I needed it. I never had 7.5 months of uninterrupted clean time. Thank you, God. I am grateful for the judicial process. I'm grateful for D.C. Police Department. I'm grateful for judges and prosecutors and case managers and caseworkers and U.S. Marshals and Montgomery County Sheriffs, PG County Police, nurses, psychiatrists. Look, man, it took, you know what it took to put Humpty Dumpty back together again? I was a broken, shattered, nothing, crushed up egg, man, just laying there. It was a whole orchestra. God put together a whole orchestra. It was a symphony, man. It was like 500 people involved in putting back together one guy. And the thing is, if you think that I'm unique, you're wrong. Every one of you has had that same orchestra. Whether you figured it out or not, if you start doing a thorough and fearless moral inventory, you will see that you had nothing to do with this. I had nothing to do with this. Like, my clean date is as random as my birthday. That's the truth, man. I don't know who picked November 12th, 1962. I don't know who assigned that birthday to me. But whoever it was also signed October 11th of 2003. That's how little I had to do with my clean day. So I'm grateful for that. I mean, look, I don't usually even tell my using story. What I usually do is I'll roll up my pants legs, and then I roll up my arms, and I just let you do an inspection. And that's my story. I mean, I got just many leftover abscess marks to keep me busy. I could play connect the dots for like 2 hours, man, with a magic marker. So I shot dope for 20 years. I made a full 20-year career out of being a heroin addict. And and a full professional crackhead. I was a full-time professional heroin addicted crackhead, and I was pretty good at it. I mean, the truth is, I made a 20-year career out of it, and I retired with no debt. I'm gonna drop an F-bomb right now. That's the fucking truth. I was debt-free at 40 years old, and I didn't have no habit. I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know what that meant until I got into some trouble with that. Now I got some debts and some credit cards. I didn't know how good I had it when I got clean. But, so I come out of Clarksburg, I go to a treatment center that I'd been to already 11 other times. And they kept me there for, it was a 28-day program. I walked in there with 7.5 months clean, and it took me 68 days to finish it. A 28-day program that I already been to a dozen times. I know this stuff by heart. And because it was, again, a judge, after 28 days, right around 27 days, my counselor says, you know, there's a warrant for you. Your probation officer violated you from 9 months ago. I said, oh, man. So why are you wearing that wristband? Why don't you go over to talk to the judge? So I went over there with my rehab wristband. Hey, judge, look, doing good, man. I weigh 140 pounds now. By that point, I might have weighed 150. But you know what? He says, man, Mr. Gugliotta, you look good, man. I can't believe it. I said, thanks, judge. He goes, you know, I'm going to do you a favor. I said, what? He goes, I'm going to send you to this X amount to this treatment center for 28 days. And I said, well, that's funny that you should say that, because I just did my 28 days here. He goes, no, but you're going to do a brand new 28 days. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, look, man, it took 7.5 months in jail and 28 days of treatment. I think you should be offering me an apartment or something, man. I'm sorry, what is this? He said, oh, I'll do you a favor. So I go back there, and they say, so I figured now they're going to give me I don't know what they're going to give me, a job or something, but they did give me a job. They said, this is called a mop, and that's a bucket. And I mopped that place so good, man. I mean, that's all I did. I couldn't even go to the groups anymore. All I could do was just mop after everything. And for the second 28 days, I'm telling you, man, I got so good at mopping that I could have wrote a book on it. I could write a book on mopping. But I even said that to a counselor who hated my guts. And she goes, I was walking past her little group one day, and she goes, Mr. Gugliotta, why don't you come here? Tell these people how, you know, all you've learned while you're here. What are you going to do different? What are you going to do different this time? I said, you know what I learned? She goes, what? I said, I learned that if you put like that much mopping glow and that much spick and span and that much more, you can get a real kick ass shine on any floor. That's what I learned. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I'm the best mopper ever. And clean. Love the smell of Clorox. And, man, so I'm a high school dropout. I got kicked out of the best high schools in Montgomery County. I got a GED by accident in 1979. I know you're laughing. You think I'm being funny. That's the truth, man. And so then I parlayed that GED into a full-time heroin addiction. But like I said, I retired from being a full-time heroin addicted crackhead at 40 years old. And when I finally got out of that treatment center, I went to another place in Virginia for another 3 months. So now I ended up with 15 months of uninterrupted clean time. I can't tell you what, there ain't no price, there's no substitute for uninterrupted clean time. I don't care what you ever hear in NA from anybody, I don't care who they are. There is nothing that will substitute for clean time. Uninterrupted clean time is it. It ain't all. Everything after that is just like a bonus. If you're an addict like me, if all I get out of life forever was the ability to just like sit in a chair and stare at a wall with a little dot on it. And just that's all I get out of life. You don't get nothing else. No cars, girlfriends, jobs, nothing. But you never have to be dope sick again. All you get is you get to stare at this fucking dot. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the dot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I give that assignment to my sponsees sometimes, and they don't last 3 minutes, but I learned in jail how to do it for 8 hours. Thank God for jail for that reason, too. I didn't have to pay bills. I didn't have to worry about my girlfriend being anywhere. I didn't have to be nowhere. All I had to do was just eat, sleep, shit, and get better. So anyway, I took that raggedy-ass GED that I forgot I even had. Actually, before I even did that, I left D.C. Once I got out of that last place, I went down to Florida. February 1st, 2005, I stepped foot off a bus, and I saw palm trees, and I was like, what the fuck? I mean, and then somebody said, and then a couple days later, I was at a meeting on the beach in February, in shorts, smoking cigarettes, surrounded by girls, and I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I literally lived the cruddiest life you can live, and I died, and that's where I ended up. What? This is crazy. I loved it, man. I couldn't believe it, man. It was like the best kept secret. Man. And I took it, right? I took like a fish to water that place, man. And I surrounded myself by NA people. And I made NA my entire life. From the time I woke up to the time I go to sleep. And my life was only, my whole universe was like 35 blocks from the beach to my house. And then about a mile this way and a mile that way. It was that rectangle. Everything that could happen to a person's life or for them had to happen inside of that rectangle. I wouldn't venture no further out of that, man. I had a bicycle. I had a 3-pack-a-day cigarette habit. I drank coffee like I was a fiend. But you know what? All I did was ride my bike to meetings, make a lot of friends, did a lot of service. And man, things got good, man. I mean, I started feeling like really good. And then that May, actually right now, this next weekend, down at Concord Public Area, Narcotics Anonymous, next weekend, spiritual retreat in the Keys, right? Man, I've been to that thing every year since I got to Florida. They said, why don't you go to that retreat? Why don't you go to that retreat? I said, man, that's outside of my rectangle. I ain't going to no retreat. I ain't going nowhere. But they convinced me, go, man. And I got in a car with a bunch of guys, and I didn't even know them. I'm like, man, this is going to end bad. I know this is going to end bad. This can't go right. I know. And I'm going to go to jail. They won't. It's always like that. So they always have a story. I'm always like that guy. I'm not the black guy. I'm not the white guy. I'm the other guy. I go to jail. You go to jail. I don't even speak Spanish. That's the best thing. What the fuck? Like, you're Italian, you must be connected. So I was weary, man, to get in the car with these guys. But you know what happened? We went down there, and I had the best, it was the most magical thing, man. It was an awesome thing. And I've been there every single year. I'm going to be down there next. And I made a commitment to myself. There's a picnic table right at the 24-hour tent. And after that meeting, at midnight, I tell whoever's sitting at that table, I will see you here next year. And I've made that every year so far. And God willing, I'll be down there next weekend. But those are recovery reservations. I make reservations, recovery reservations. I don't have no using reservations. And so life, like I said, got good. My life flipped when I had 19 months clean. I was sitting right near my house, and I tried to get a job. And I come back from that retreat, and I went to this Chinese restaurant that had a dishwasher sign on their window, and they'd had that sign up there for at least 6 months. And I went in there, and I said, hey man, I'd like to apply for this job. I got 18 months clean, like. And the guy says, you got any experience? I was like, well, yeah, I do, actually. I'm pretty good at it. And he goes, well, you know, the job only pays $7 an hour. And I'm like, that's cool. That's good for me. I said, all right, that's fine, man. I can start right now. He goes, well, you know, it's a 12-hour shift from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Yeah, that's good, man. I can do that. I can do that. That's cool, man. Because really, I had nothing. But I got to start. I got to be willing. I got to do something, man. And that was all my imagination could take me to. Was there? That was all I could think of. And he says, you know what? I want you to fill out. Just leave me your number, and I want to talk to my partner, and we'll get back to you. And I'm thinking, look, man, if I'd never been demoralized in my life, that moment was probably the most demoralizing moment for real in my life. Because here I was 18 months clean, doing all the next right things, and I couldn't even get a job washing dishes, man. And I thought, man, I can't get any. And then so I remember I came out of that place, and I sat down right in front of the Starbucks next door, and I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I didn't even know I was praying, but I didn't even know it. Because I usually pray, but this time it was a different kind of prayer. I was like, man, what the fuck? I'm like, man, I can't shoot dope. I can't smoke crack. I can't go back. I don't want to go back. I've lost interest. And I can't get a job. I don't even know what I want. I don't know what I'm doing. What the fuck's going on? I mean, God, take my will and my life. Guide me in this fucking recovery and show me how to fucking live. Because I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. It was not pretty. It wasn't like all religious, man. It was like, I was like, what the fuck? And I am a religious person. But at that point, I was like, what the fuck? I can't go back. I can't go front. I can't move. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, man. Help me, God. Please help me, man. Please help me. Or take me out, man. Because I couldn't even kill myself. I can't do that. I'm too sane for that. The second step is restore me to sanity. I can't no longer pick up a drink or a drug than to stick my finger in that wall socket. I can't do it. I equate the one with the other. I'd have to be insane to stick my finger in that wall socket. I'd have to be just as insane to pick up a beer and think I'm going to be all right. That's the restoration of sanity. Knowing that. So the third step was finally happened, man. I was like, please. And you know what, man? That was in July. August, I was at Broward Community College taking four classes. Man, all of a sudden I had an associate's degree. And I had a job as a tech at a treatment center. And then I took that, and then I got finished on August 8, 2008. I ended that degree, and I said, what am I going to do? And they said, go to FIU, Florida International. I said, all right, I went down there. Boom, I'm in school. Now I'm working on a bachelor's degree. And I'm working on that, and I'm working as a tech. I'm getting paid to take a van full of kids to Fort Lauderdale Beach. That's my job. I didn't even know how good I had it. But so, I was working on the psych unit overnight, doing my homework, going to meetings. And you know what? I took that bachelor's degree. And next thing you know, I had a bachelor's degree in political science. I'm like, what? But addicts could do a lot of crazy shit. But you know what I thought? I go, you know what's going to happen is I'm going to show this degree to somebody, and they're going to say, you know, look, the school felt sorry for you. We know you're an addict. They gave you that degree. Make you feel good about yourself. But it ain't worth the paper it's written on. I knew somebody would say that because we're an addict, because I'm an addict, and I knew that was going to happen. So you know what I did? I got a second bachelor's degree. I said, fuck them. So while I was there, I got two of them. And I know one's for me, but one's for us. Because you can't tell me, or I'm telling you right now, you can't tell me we can't do whatever the fuck we put our minds to. Man. So I took that and I said, what am I going to do now? She says, take the LSAT, go to law school. I said, all right. Bam, you know, next thing you know, I'm back in Washington, D.C., but as a law student. And I'm like, man, what are you kidding me? And my school's on Connecticut Avenue. It's just a couple of, not a mile away from where I got popped on October 11th. But it's not the same guy. I ain't that guy that went to Florida and then came back to wherever 90 days later thinking everything was going to be different. I let like 8 years pass. And when I came back to D.C., it was a different me, a different version of me. Well, I've changed. I'm a law student now. And now, they gave me a learner's permit. This semester, January, they started letting me do misdemeanors at D.C. Superior Court as an attorney. And let me tell you something, man. This shit scared the fuck out of me, man. I had a post-traumatic stress disorder meltdown right before everybody. Man, they said, you gotta go talk to your lockup. I said, all right, where's he at? And they said, he's already upstairs. I was like, fuck. So I ran over there and I talked to the dude for 2 minutes and it was just like talking to me. He's lying like shit. Yeah. And I told him the same shit that they used to tell me. I'll see what I can do. But I'll tell you what, man, even though I was sweating buckets, I sweated 50 gallons, man, that day, right in front of everybody. But you know what, man, my fucking hair looked good and my suit was crispy. I'm doing, when they say beyond your wildest dreams, that's what it is. Like, I thought, for real, when I got clean, look, man, if I can get like a studio and a little, like maybe a motorized skateboard and something, a little job washing this, I was cool with that. Like, if that's what I got, that'd be cool. But I didn't make no script. I didn't put no limits. I said, you know what? You guys promised me this freedom from active addiction and then get out of the way and let God do this and don't take the wheel. And all that stuff y'all said, I challenged it, every one of it. I said, that's all bullshit. You know what I'm going to show you? I'm going to show you that if I get out of the way, nothing's going to happen. You know what? I got out of the way and what the fuck? I couldn't make this shit up. I cannot make up my own life. I can't make up my own story. And I'm glad I didn't try to, because I would have limited the hell out of me. Because my own imagination was limited by what I could only see so far. So I'm saying to you guys, if you're new, man, just like she said, strap in, hang on, take a ride of your life. And don't make no plans, because your plans are going to suck compared to what God's got for you. They will. I did it. I watched it. It happened. So I am grateful to be clean. I am lucky to be alive. I'm grateful for every clean breath that I draw into my lungs. And I need everyone. I need y'all. You know. I can't even go on any further. I am grateful to be alive. Thanks for letting me share.